welcome so much to tonight's Core Volunteer Training. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy, especially seeking to connect our newer volunteers from throughout the country and the larger world together as we stitch together an effective network pushing for change in a livable world. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and this week's topic is specifically on communicating with progressives, and we're going to talk a lot on how it intersects with the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. And so Jamie's going to facilitate a review of a lot of organizational statements made about the legislation, our ongoing plan for outreach to nonprofit organizations on the local and the national level, and some recommendations on how to talk about the bill with progressive groups. But for now, let me just introduce our wonderful featured speaker tonight. Jamie coordinates and assists efforts across the United States to advocate for carbon pricing legislation that matches the values of citizens' climate lobbies. And while CCL remains laser-focused on passing a national fee and dividend system of legislation, there's ongoing grassroots energy. More than one in five states now is actively pursuing carbon pricing on the state level. And Jamie's happy to talk about that too in the Q&A portion. But he's dedicated in his role on staff, amongst many other hats he wears, to passing state-level legislation that serves as a model and inspiration for national lawmakers. And the floor is yours, Jamie. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for that introduction, and thanks everyone for calling in. So I am really excited to talk about this tonight. I think that reaching out to progressives, I heard some people say at the beginning when we were introducing ourselves that their member of Congress is a progressive member of Congress, and they're not making a lot of leeway, not having a lot of traction. And it is so important that members of Congress who identify on the left and as progressive members hear good things about our bill from people who they identify with, from people who they see in the same political spectrum as themselves. Really, there are so many bills introduced into Congress every year. Members of Congress, it's physically impossible to read and do discernment on every single bill. So they rely on trusted messengers to tell them how to think about things. And that's something we all do. I think about like the first time I heard about the Iran deal. I had an opinion about it. And it wasn't because I had read the whole Iran deal and like studied it and came to an independent conclusion. It was because an organization I trusted told me how they felt about it. And then that's how I felt about it. And so getting trusted messengers on the progressive spectrum to talk to members of Congress who identify in the progressive spectrum is integral to doing that work and getting those co-sponsors. But to go over what we're going to talk about, we are going to first sort of go over some statements of support and understand the importance of relationship and scale. We're going to review statements of support for HR 763 and go over how to respond to criticism. Then we're going to highlight where to go for more support and additional resources. A little more in-depth agenda. Again, national group support, what CCL National is doing, the importance of putting people over policy, responding to criticism, and helping with local outreach. The big question is, what are national groups saying about the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act? You hear about this group, you hear about Citizens Climate Lobby, you hear about our bill, and you're like, well, where are all the other big greens? What are people saying about it? Do people like this? And here are some samplings. And don't feel like you have to write this all down. Like Brett said, we're going to share the slides so you will have access to these quotes. But the Nature Conservancy, one of the biggest environmental organizations, says, a bill like this is a necessary component to an effective plan to address climate change. David Roberts, who's a really trusted messenger on the left and energy on the left, he says, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act is a credible, ambitious climate effort. Taking innovation seriously means instituting a rising carbon fee. Environmental Defense Fund says the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act adds to a growing chorus of support for meaningful action to protect our country and the planet. And I'm reading these off again as trusted messengers so that if you're talking to a progressive organization, they say, CCL, you guys are kind of out there with this carbon pricing thing. You can say, no, you know, Dave Roberts has this to say about the bill. And it's important to recognize that not all of these statements constitute a full endorsement of the bill, but you can share these quotes in their full nuance with people. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who is often seen as one of the major champions in the Senate for climate action, says, Virtually every serious economist who has considered the challenge of reducing emissions from the right and the left agrees that setting a price on carbon is the most efficient solution. Indeed, the International Panel on Climate Change, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, in its latest report, said a carbon fee is one of the best tools we have to prevent catastrophic climate change. That's a great quote from the senator, and that's a great point that he makes that I make all the time, that a lot of groups are going around saying the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change said we have 12 years, which is now less than 10 years because time has passed. But this report is held up as this sort of like golden truth harbinger that everyone has to listen to. And if you don't listen to it, you're denying the science. And that report said that the number one recommendation, the central to mitigation of climate change, is a price on carbon and a really steep rising price on carbon. So someone tries to tell you, you can't support this bill, like listen to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report. You can say, actually, that report fully endorses a steadily rising carbon price. James Hansen, the grandfather of the climate movement, says this bill gives us the chance to fight it seriously and on a big scale. I encourage everyone to support the Bipartisan Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. So that is a ringing endorsement. And the Natural Resources Defense Council says the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act reflects a serious effort to respond to the gravity of the climate disruption we are already experiencing and that will only worsen if we fail to act. Most importantly, it is sponsored by both Republicans and Democrats. What is CCL National doing at the national scale? We get a lot of messages like, are we doing this? Are we doing that? And the answer is we're doing a lot at the national scale. And some of those things include, we are part of the United States Climate Action Network. That is a network of more than 180 climate groups, large and small, all across the country, where we engage in regular meetings. We have multiple members of staff who are in multiple levels of committees and subcommittees. Brett is in a committee of the United States Climate Action Network. I'm in a different committee. Taylor, our coworker, is in another committee. We attend their national gathering. And this is one of the main frameworks through which big climate groups and small climate groups and the whole, like it says, the United States climate action community gets together, builds relationships, goes to national conferences together. And informs each other and keeps in touch and sharing knowledge. That's one of many tables that we sit at, but it's one of the most prominent. We're also meeting with groups that oppose us and talking about, because like we say with members of Congress, there's multiple levels of opposition. And we try to keep people at the good end of opposing. We also have this new innovation, the HR 763 coalition calls, where we actually every month have a phone call that we host where all the groups that have endorsed our bill and are willing to put grassroots capacity into the bill call in, and we talk about what we're going to do this month for the bill, share updates, share strategy, share legislative insight, congressional insight. And that's something we didn't used to have, but we now actually have an active coalition of groups advocating for the bill in their different ways and sharing and coordinating. And the other thing to keep in mind is that quiet can be a good thing. The first instinct of a lot of people is like, what about Sierra Club? Shouldn't we get them to work on this? And a lot of people have had that thought and a lot of people have tried, and they are not going to endorse this bill, but they have agreed to sort of like stay on the sideline, and that is due to a lot of great work from the CCL national team. So a lot of that work is kind of invisible. But then taking it from the national level of big groups and big conversations back down to your district and your work and like what you can do and how you can talk with your progressive allies about this bill. And the first thing I like to say is always build a relationship, put people first, not policy. You do not want to have the first thing you say to someone in a new relationship be about the details of carbon fee and dividend and asking them to come work on it with you. One analogy that Taylor, our colleague, has come up with that I use a lot is imagine going to your neighbor's house who you haven't met, knocking on their door, and when they answered, you said, hey, I'm your neighbor. I'm refinishing my back deck. And I'd love it if you could help me with that. Would you be willing to come over and work on my back deck with me? That person would probably be like, who are you? I'm not going to do that. Because that's kind of a big ask. On the other hand, if you go to your neighbor's house and you knock on the door, you're like, hey, I'm your neighbor. I live a few doors down. I'd love to get to know you. Could I host you for dinner sometime? That, you know, is going to probably be better received. That's just an invitation for connection and interpersonal relationship. And then if that relationship is positive and sort of goes on for long enough, then helping each other work on each other's decks is something that sort of comes up naturally. That's something that like friendly neighbors would do for each other and feels appropriate and right. And I think it's the same thing when talking about our bill, where if you go into a progressive organization, especially one that works in the climate space or the energy environment space, asking them to drop what they're doing and work on this bill or even just endorse this bill can be a really big ask. And that sort of upfront demand can often turn people off. And just like we build relationships with members of Congress, I am always encouraging people to build relationships. Relationships is what we're betting everything on at Citizens Climate Lobby. We believe that relationships are more powerful than anything. And then even if they never endorse the bill, even if they hate the bill and they spit on it, you know, then at least you have a relationship. And when you have a relationship with someone, they're less likely to actively work against you or more likely to endorse it. It's just people don't like to upset their friends. So be friends if you can. A few other thoughts about putting people over policy. Relationships matter the most. Ask what they are doing. Be interested, not interesting. People love to hear the phrase like, how can I help? How can I volunteer? How can I get involved? Go to their events. If there's an organization you're interested in, they put on like a fundraiser every year or like an award ceremony every year, like go to that and like shake hands. Let them see you at their events. Have humility and authenticity. I demonstrate a long-term commitment to a relationship. Know that like just because we have a great bill that's an awesome, amazing part of the solution doesn't mean we know everything and we have a lot to learn. And focus on a shared vision. We can get into a lot of fights about policy mechanisms, but it's important to share the common vision of a carbon-free future that we all want. And now, in addition to that, I'm going to, and don't assume the Energy Innovation Act is the best or only solution. That's part of having humility. And the one other piece I'd like to say about when doing this is to talk about features of the bill, not benefits. Features of an umbrella is that it's like unbreakable, it's cloth, made of wood, good umbrella. But benefits are that it like keeps you from getting sunburnt when there's sun and keeps you from getting wet when it's raining. And people respond better to hearing benefits than hearing features. So when I talk about this bill for the first time to someone, I say things like, this is a bill that's going to reduce all US greenhouse gas emissions 40% in 12 years and put more money in people's pockets, especially working people. Like those are great benefits that everybody likes. I tend not to start with, this is a bill that's going to put a price on carbon upstream that's going to start at $15 per ton and rise $5 per ton every year with inflation. All that money is going to go into a pot and be rebated to every American on a monthly basis. That sounds really complicated. And in my experience of explaining the bill based on its features, most of the time people don't get it. They're like, wait, you take all the money and give it all back. What was the point of doing that? How do you like, what people can do whatever they want with the money. It just goes down this rabbit hole. But sometimes you can just talk about the benefits and all of those benefits are like backed up by hard independent modeling. And we're like super secure about, and you can say those benefits. And then if people ask about the features, you can go into them, but start with benefits. People over policy, start with benefits. And then at the same time, it's important to achieve scale. Reach out to a lot of groups because most of them will not respond. Often when I talk to people about reaching out to progressives, they'll say things like, this one group just isn't going to do it. I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried building a relationship, and I'm just not getting anywhere. And my advice is to not bang your head against a wall. This is my little diagram. of what you're not supposed to do, of banging your head right there. And by that, I mean, don't get hung up on any one organization. Some people just aren't going to support our bill. That's okay. Not everyone's going to support anything. I mean, there's no one thing that everyone is going to support. And I see a lot of people throwing a lot of good energy down these rabbit holes of organizations that aren't going anywhere on this. And I think we should just keep moving out. And what that requires is reaching out to a large number of organizations so that you don't get bogged down by any one organization. When I was part of the Maryland Clean Energy Jobs Initiative, we had a sort of endorsement campaign where we tried to get a lot of organizations to sign on the dotted line that they endorse our policy. And we ended up getting throughout the state of Maryland more than 650 organizations to endorse our policy, which was a huge feat. I was like working on that full time for a long time. And this is a screenshot of like what my spreadsheet looked like. It was just like long, long, long lists of like, here's the group, here's the name, here's the contact, here's my notes from them, and here's like the next action I'm going to take. Don't get too obsessed with the details of this, but know that this was like hundreds of cells long, just of like organizations I was going to reach out to. And I recommend if you're trying to get progressive voice, reaching out to a lot of organizations. And I have found that organizations that don't work in the energy space are more likely to endorse this bill. I think it's in part because if you work in the energy space, you think all about these like different policies all the time, and you're like in that camp and you're in this camp, or you've already like people have already gotten your head about all these things. But if you're in a progressive organization that works outside of the climate space, and someone comes to you like, hey, here's a great climate bill. They're like, great, I care about the climate. I like that bill. Sounds like it has great benefits. So expand the number of groups you're reaching out to. So I just told you two contradictory things. One was to be super personal and lead with relationships, and the other was to achieve scale. And those are kind of irreconcilable because you can't have profound interpersonal relationships at scale. But Citizens Climate Lobby and our members are known for doing the impossible. So for us, I think it's easy. Be personable and achieve scale. Easy. So the other piece about reaching out to progressive groups, just like getting progressive groups to endorse the bill makes members of Congress that are progressive more likely to support it. At the same time, telling progressive groups that progressive members of Congress have endorsed the bill makes them more likely to endorse it. So we have a lot of outspoken climate champions who have supported, officially co-sponsored HR 763. About half of our co-sponsors at any time are members of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, and about half are members, are co-sponsors of the Green New Deal. And those numbers keep changing because the number of co-sponsors keep growing. But I think throughout the whole course of the bill, about the number has stayed about half. Barbara Lee is a co-sponsor of our bill. She was the only person to vote against the war in Afghanistan, the vote that happened like 3 days after 9/11. She was the only person to vote against it. According to GovTrax, an independent like Congress tracking organization, Barbara Lee is the most progressive member of Congress in the Congress right now. And she has co-sponsored the bill. So we have some genuine bona fides of members of Congress who are progressive supporting this bill that you can take to an organization when you're presenting to them about this bill. And here are some quotes. You know, Bernie Sanders, the champion of all the climate groups that are progressive, is very proud that he introduced the first carbon tax. We also have President Barack Obama. If there's one thing I would like to see, it'd be for us to be able to price the cost of carbon emissions. Good one. Greta Thunberg. This one's less on carbon pricing, more on bipartisanship, because sometimes we get crap for bipartisanship. She says, no matter how political the background to this crisis may be, we must not allow this to continue to be a partisan political question. The climate and ecological crisis is beyond party politics. Our main enemy right now is not our political opponents. Our main enemy right now is physics, and we cannot make deals with physics. So if anyone tells you like, you know, you shouldn't be working with Republicans, this is just a party thing where we need only Democrats, you can quote Greta at them. And that's compelling. sorry, this next quote, I can't see the bottom of this one. Who is this? So this is Bill McKibben, the founder of the Modern Climate Movement. I love working with Citizens Climate Lobby. Their relentless focus on the need for a fee and dividend solution is helping drive the debate in precisely the right direction. I'm enormously grateful for their persistence and creativity. Again, you don't have to write these down because you're going to have these slides, but these are messengers that you can use to buy good faith with the organizations you're reaching out to. Responding to criticism. People have critiques of our bill. And the general piece of advice is that when responding to criticism, you should start by acknowledging shared values. Catherine Hayhoe, our favorite climate communicator in the world, Catherine Hayhoe says that everybody already has all the values they need to care about climate change. We just need to connect the dots for people about how climate change is affecting the values they already have. And similarly, I think when we're talking, this is not always true when we're talking to the right, but when we're talking to the left, we share all the values that people have when they're expressing criticism. And sometimes just acknowledging that we share a value, even if our bill doesn't fully address the concern that they have, matters to people because we're acknowledging that connection and shared value. The other thing that's important to remember is that we are part of a movement ecosystem. This is a theory that our director of government operations, Danny Richter, talks about a lot, is how a healthy ecosystem has lots of different organizations filling lots of different niches. And each organization has its niche, it does that thing, and then collectively, out of all those interactions, arises a healthy ecosystem. Similarly, in a movement, there are lots of different organizations, and each organization has its niche that it does relentlessly and very well. And then out of the interactions of all those different organizations, a healthy, fully powerful movement arises. So if someone says like, hey, why are you working only on this bill? Why are you talking to Republicans and trying to convert Republicans to be supportive? One thing I'll often say is that we're just filling a niche in the climate movement, that someone has to be talking to conservatives and making the conservative solutions to climate change. We're the ones stepping up to do that and help do that along with many others. And you are doing a different thing in the movement, which is also necessary. And together, we're creating a movement. Another way to think of this is Bill Moyer's Four Roles of Activism. Bill Moyer is a great author. He wrote a book called Doing Democracy. In it, he talks about like when someone tries to get involved in a movement, they usually fall into one of four roles, generally speaking. The advocate who makes direct communication with power holders. This is like lobbying and sort of like in-person relationship building with the power holder. Another type is the helper. This is like someone who would go to somewhere that's been ravaged by a natural disaster and helped rebuild houses, sort of going to where the problem is and helping to alleviate. The rebel shouts and like creates a fuss that is such a stir so that power holders have to do something to respond to it. And the organizer is someone who gets joy from bringing people together, often people who didn't know each other, bringing them together and creating collective power. Citizens Climate Lobby tends to fall into the advocate and organizer role. We don't do as much rebel or helper roles. But obviously we do a lot of lobbying because we are the Citizens Climate Lobby. But then outside of our lobby meetings, we do a lot of organizing. And so it is important that there are people who will like occupy Nancy Pelosi's office and shout that we need more and be the sort of rebel role. And then at the same time, we need someone else to go into Nancy Pelosi's office. Let's talk about what we're going to do to try and appease all those demands or like try to do with all this pressure that's now being put on you to do something. So again, this is just a way if someone is giving criticism to CCL or our work to just name that there's lots of different roles in the movement and we're filling ours and they're filling theirs and we should all play nice in the sandbox. Getting into specifics about the bill, again, we should always begin by highlighting shared values. So if someone says like, we're running out of time to solve the climate crisis, you know, like 40% greenhouse gas emissions in 12 years, it's just not enough. We need to go faster. you know, I would always start with like, I agree we're running out of time. And like, I would love to go faster than 40% in 12 years also. Like, I totally agree with that. And because we don't have time, we don't have time to wait for the Democrats to control every part of government. You know, we don't know when that's going to happen. We're all hoping, you know, that there'll be a policy window to get climate policy passed in the next Congress. But if someone believes that that policy window can only happen if Democrats win the Senate and win the president, then they are not, you know, we can't be guaranteed that's going to happen. And then we're just waiting longer and longer and longer. With other criticisms, people say that this policy might hurt low-income communities, or this policy will hurt people who are employed by coal, oil, and gas. Again, we share the concern that low-income communities do suffer the worst from climate change, and that's why this policy is designed to give people rebates that functionally are just a wealth that where we know low- and middle-income people come out ahead. And then, like with job training, our bill doesn't do a lot to job train people who are leaving the coal, oil, and gas industry. And so just sort of acknowledging that that is a real concern and saying that we support it, even though it's not in this bill, that is something that just acknowledging the shared value can matter a lot. So you might be asking yourself, how can I help? And that is a great question. So the first piece of advice that I have for how you can help is that Citizens Climate National is already talking with national organizations. There's no need to contact those organizations. If you do have a connection at high up in the national organization and you feel it's useful, please email a Citizens Climate Lobby staff directly. Specifically, you should email Taylor. Email's taylor@citizensclimate.org. I think Brett will put it in the chat. But the main takeaway is that for your work, local groups are far more valuable and movable than national level groups. I think if you're trying to get your member of Congress to endorse the bill, sometimes getting like a local chapter of a national organization is more useful than getting the national organization. Because then seeing if your member of Congress sees that local affiliate on the list, they know that their constituents, people who they represent, looked at this bill, thought about it, and decided to endorse. And sometimes that means more than knowing that like their like lobbyists in Washington endorsed the bill. And then like you can always, if someone doesn't like the bill, you can ask what they'd like to be changed, open to conversations. But most importantly, build trust at the local level over state issues. That goes a long way. My work is a lot of working with other organizations to pass state bills that aren't always carbon fee and dividend. And when you're in the trenches with someone working towards a bill or a policy solution, then after that battle, after that campaign, you're a lot closer. And that relationship we were talking about has gone a lot further. And it's a lot easier to make asks like for them to endorse the national bill because they trust you and they've worked alongside you. So highlights are contact local affiliates. One addendum is that we have been asked not to ask local Sierra Club chapters to endorse HR 763. That is a request that Sierra Club National has made of us. And so we just want to pass this along. Feel free to like participate in Sierra Club stuff and be there and be there with them and like wear multiple hats if you want or wear a CCL hat at a Sierra Club meeting. Just don't ask that chapter to endorse the bill. You can like work with them on planning Earth Day events if you want, just not to endorse the bill. But other than that, you should definitely reach out to lots of local affiliates of national organizations or just organizations that are unique to your region or district and ask them to endorse the bill. And build trust by working through for local initiatives. Here are closing considerations. We should always be centered in CCL's shared values, respect, appreciation, and gratitude. That is what our relationships are built on. We should listen for underlying concerns and identify them in the conversation. So instead of always just jumping on the technicality that addresses what someone is saying, acknowledging the emotion behind it. And above all, please be polite and leave the door open. that is critical for building relationships and moving forward.
Please feel free to reach out to any of us. And we'd love to be in touch with ongoing thoughts with wherever you're at and how we can support you. And thank you so much before anything else tonight and just making time to be with us and share in this community right now. I know, especially with where I'm at, it really means a lot to kind of have a sense of connectedness, even though we're socially distant or not online distant.
Thank you very much. This is very, very helpful.
It was
thanks for calling in. It was great to talk with everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.